Good morning, 7:22 a.m., May the 9th. I'm just making a turn here at the stop sign, so there's still a lot of road noise. This is the rush hour here in Greeley, 7 to 8. And I'm out early because I had to take the kids to school at 6:30. So, yeah, I came home, took the trash out, and now I'm taking my trash around the block a couple of times. Well, once. 18 minutes first mile, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Considering I haven't walked in, what, 2 weeks? I think I walked. Did I walk on May 1st? I think so. Oh, yeah, walking. I wanted to walk today. My foot's still sore. But it's, apparently it's going to be sore for a while. And today I think it's swollen because I ate too much salt yesterday. I had fried chicken for lunch, and I had we went out for dinner at a local eatery, and apparently the meal I had was laced with salt because anyway, once in a while. This is not the week for diet. This is the week for recovery. This is the first time that I've talked to you since I got my vision back. And that was one of the reasons that I wanted to walk and talk a bit today. Because it occurred to me yesterday, after I finally got out of the doctor's office, it was like almost 12:30 before I got out, that, not only can I see, which is really quite astonishing to me, and the headache is starting to go away. It went away altogether yesterday, but then I missed a dose of eye drops yesterday in the middle of the day. And so I've got a little bit of a headache back. I'm gonna pump the meds today. Make sure I don't miss any doses. Make sure I don't miss my eye with the drops. So yeah, I was worried that I would get the first one done and then have to gear up my nerve to get the second one done. And right now I'm thinking, damn, why do I have to wait? I want it done now, because this is astonishing. The other side of it is, it would be a total pain in the butt to have to be so careful with both eyes. It's hard enough with one. I can't rub it. I really shouldn't touch it, which means it gets filled with crusties, and I really don't have any way to get rid of them. Cry and try to wash them out, which actually works surprisingly well. But as astonishing as the eye, the vision thing is, astonishing as it is to be able to read my phone. I can read Facebook notifications on my phone again. When I first got the phone, I didn't have any trouble reading even the little tiny print that comes across in Facebook on this Galaxy Note. But over the course of the last several months, that's gotten worse and worse to the point where I really can't read them. I can see that I have notifications and I have to go to the computer to read them. And yesterday was the first day that I've really been able to read my screen in normal mode. I've been using high visibility, accessibility access tools to be able to read the screen, even a 22-inch monitor. It's been difficult. And now I can read the screen in normal font, in regular layout. I can even read Google Plus with its really horrible white. It's really dreadful interface. It's kind of a twerpy interface, actually. But all the low contrast stuff makes it very difficult to see when you don't have much contrast in your eyesight to begin with. And inverting the video just means you've got inverted low contrast, so it doesn't really help much, which makes it an interesting challenge. But over and above the reality of being able to see clearly, at least out of one eye, and much more clearly than I could a week ago, there has been a shift in my outlook. It's as if some, you know, some big weight, you know, this is a cliche, it's like some big weight has been lifted from my shoulders, some curtain drawn back from my inner eye. Things that seemed overwhelming before seem not only possible, but highly doable. So I'm like, okay, sure. According to Dan Sawyer, I only need to write 32 more books and I'll have written more books than Robert Heinlein. Which is an interesting challenge. He's challenged me to a race. I haven't accepted yet, but he's challenged me to eclipsing Heinlein race, which is expected to take several years, but which we would start a website and share it in terms of posting our progress. How are we doing? I've been really terrible at making my goals. And I think my excuse has been I can't see. And as much as that sounds feeble to me, I think there was a lot more reality to it than I wanted to accept, or perhaps it was the deterioration of my vision was making me feel that all of my faculties were deteriorating. Oh, I can't do that. I'm old and blind and feeble, and I can't. And while it was true that I was, you know, for all intents and purposes, pretty much blind. I think probably legally blind. There's a certain weight that comes with that. There's a certain amount of baggage that has to be dragged along behind. Now I'm upset because I've got little spots. They said to watch out for little spots. I have. But I don't know if these are the little spots I'm supposed to watch out for. It was clear yesterday, but I woke up in the middle of the night and my eye guard had fallen off. It was taped to the pillow. I don't know if I bumped my eye. I should probably call this morning and find out if this is significant. But the reality is that I'm walking this morning. I'm going to try to do something that I've done in the past, but I've never really done very well, and that's read and write at the same time. I got to get this Greedock story done, but I also have to start getting some of this audio work out. I've got to get Zyphirius call. I'm getting more and more calls for, where is it? It's almost June. We want to listen to your story. And, yeah, I do. I want to read it. I want to get it together, and I have to get it all done before I can put it up on Podiobooks. So that's going to be an extended process, and one that I probably should get going sooner rather than later. And if I'm serious about straightening out my production queue, and I am, the end of last week, starting with Wednesday of last week, when I said, all right, I'm going to grind this thing out, and threw away the story that wasn't working for Greedock and started a new one that was, you know, mostly the same stuff, rearranged slightly, but also with an eye to what the story is and not just sort of floundering around in the world trying to find out what the world looked like to a teenaged alien. I do have a gimmick, and I really like the gimmick because it allows me to play games with language in ways that I find interesting and which lend a sense of alienness to Greedock's character and the Quith in general. And one of the things that we've, and I probably mentioned this, but one of the things that we've seen in Scott's work is that we've only seen the Quith, we've only seen all the aliens, actually, from the one perspective, the one view, the human looking at alien view. And my challenge has been to write the alien looking at human view with the Quith. And so it's kind of, how do we deal with this? They have antennas, and they have pedipalps, and they have monkpole. They have one eye. Although it's not one eye as we think of it. It's not like one giant grapefruit-sized eye with a single nerve. It's an orb that has a collection of receptors on the back, so that they do in fact have more insectile-like vision with a multifaceted eye than they have stereo vision or binocular vision that humans have. And Greedock doesn't think about this because it's all he sees. He doesn't have anything to reference it, so that it doesn't show up. But his communication, particularly with other Quith, and even with humans, is collared by the fact that he has antennae, and he uses his pedipalps in ways that are obscured to humans who don't, you know, who listen to the words but don't pay attention to the body language. And for the Quith, body language is very important. How they say something matters very much. So it's been interesting, and I cruised through like 21,000 words in 3 days. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week, I was cranking words. It was amazing. It was 6,000, 8,000 words. I think it was 6,000 words, 8,000. I might have done another 1,000 after that. And another week like that, another 4 days, 3 days like that, I'll have it done. But they were also very long days. They were 6, 8, 10-hour days, interspersed with doctor's appointments and running kids and not walking. And frankly, I missed the walk. I missed the opportunity to get out and breathe, to move around. I'm sure it's not helping my general constitution to have gone so long without a walk, so that was another reason for getting started. I'm not going to be breaking any records for a while anyway. Just getting out and dragging my butt around is going to be success. I have a very low bar of success. Can I walk and can I spend an hour? Can I spend an hour on myself? Can I spend 20 minutes talking to you? Can I regularize a production calendar, a production schedule on a daily basis? It involves a little bit of writing, a little bit of walking, a little bit of reading, some audio work, some more writing. If I can get the Greedock story out, then the writing will be the copy edits for Double Share and producing that, followed by the copy edits for Captain Share and producing that. But rather than try to sit and do that all day, every day, which is very difficult and mind-numbing. It does not lend itself to good results if I recognize that I'm only going to do 3 hours, we'll say, maybe 4 hours of copy, edits, and production work per day. And then a couple hours of reading and editing audio, then I'm going to put progress on parallel tracks. And rather than say, okay, well, I've done my audio work for today, I'm done working, if I say, okay, I've done my copy edits for today, now I can do some audio, and when I've got my audio done, then I'm done working. The thought of doing that a week ago, of saying, you know, I really can do more than a few hours a day and then I have to lay limp like some jellyfish. I always did way more than that. I was working 18-hour days when I was a youngster. You know, when I was only 50, I was working 18-hour days. Of course, now I'm 10 years older. I'm feeling a little more frail, to be frank. And having the eyes go made me feel even more frail. But I think maybe that's the shift in outlook. I think maybe that's what's at the root of this shift in my spirit, for lack of a better term. Being able to see I'm no longer so frail. I'm still in pain. Jeez, I'm still in a lot of pain. But, you know, it's like I tell my wife, who's chronically ill and chronically fighting pain. It's like, you're going to feel pain anyway. The question is, what are you going to do besides? Because you got to do something. Otherwise, you just sit around and feel pain. At least find a distraction. For me, I'm really anxious that that distraction be work, be useful. If I'm going to beat Heinlein, I need to write 32 more books. 32 more books. 32 more books is like 5 years worth. If I can do 5 or 6 books a year, not if I do 1 book every other year. That's not acceptable. That's not an acceptable rate of production for me. It's not going to be a sustainable level of production for me. If I shoot for 6 and only do 4, then okay, well, that's good. 1 every quarter. If I shoot for 4 and do 2, that's not so good. And the other thing is that I'm probably going to write shorter books. 100,000 words is really where I want to be. And this 200,000 word, 150,000 word book, That's 3 Heinleins. 3 of his juvenile Heinleins, anyway. So, yeah, I've got some great characters. I've got a great universe. I have lots of stories to tell about Ishmael Wong, so that's good. I'm very excited still. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, God, I'm into the 3rd book with this character, and I'm so sick of him. Like, really? See, for me, the challenge is getting better all the time. And that's going to be the big stopping block. That's going to be the big obstacle for me. Can I make it better? Because part of the problem is I have to determine what better means. I have to figure out, you know, what's the next step in craft. And as I fear, call is so far and away ahead of quarter share. It's even ahead of double share. I don't know if it's ahead of owner share or not. Owner share is a bit contrived because it needed to close so many gaps. It needed to bring so many storylines to an end. and yet leave at least one storyline open for the next series. And it achieved the goal that I wanted, but could it have been less mechanistic? Could it have been less traumatic? And yeah, probably could have. But the problem with that is that I really wanted that whole arc to come to a decided end. Yeah, 20 minutes for the last mile. That's not great, but at least it's better than sitting on my butt. So anyway, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk tomorrow. I don't know if, you know, next week is not a surgery week. The following week is. So I'm going to see if I can't get my butt moving, get out, get walking around. One of the problems is that a lot of my walking around is going to be behind the lawnmower. I did part of the lawn yesterday. I got to do another part this morning. If it dries out, it rained heavy overnight. Everything is soggy. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on. But, you know, tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.